morning, everyone. Including those in the gallery. Warm welcome to all of you on this Palm Sunday morning. And if you are a visitor here today, you are especially welcome. And if you're listening to the recording of this at home, then you're welcome too. Before we begin our service, our Pastor Stephen has one or two things to share with you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be alive, and that's why we have notices. Yes, excellent. You'll find on your seats two things. You'll find the invitation to the Easter services and a gospel message there, and it's got that picture on the front, I love you. And when this design was chosen, I was thinking that Jesus says to us, I love you. But when the leaflets arrived, I realized there's also the little boy saying, I love you. And so this is our leaflet. I would encourage you to give them away. There's a whole lot of the table outside. About 500 have already been given out. There's another few hundred that are there and on your seats. Do give them to invite people to the Easter services. And there's also a song sheet and invitation combined, See His Love. This is for the United Paynton Church Family service on Good Friday in Palace Avenue Gardens. We're praying for a good weather forecast and for weather like we have now. Sunshine, beautiful, loads of people coming, wanting to hear about Jesus, to see his love. Do come if you can and bring others with you. There are lots of these leaflets outside on the table. Do give them, along with the other leaflets, give them to people you think wouldn't come into church but might poke their heads over the hedge to see what's happening in Palace Avenue Gardens. And there will be people there. Already people have been in bed on a Sunday morning hearing the music of the healing place in Palace Avenue Gardens, getting out, being prayed for, and ending up in church on the Sunday because they heard what was going on. It's a great opportunity, and particularly it's the whole Paynton Church family saying, yes, we are one in Christ. And it's going to be a very powerful time. So these have been produced by our friends at Bay Church. They've done these for us. Do make the most of them. A couple of other things. There is always prayer ministry available at the end of the service, and that's for someone to pray with you. And if God touches you during the service, if there are things that you think, I need someone to pray with me, to help me, you'll see them, they've got the yellow around that, like, you know, you can wave at Josie, that's right, and Dee's got one as well. And I'd like someone to pray with me, then come to the front after the service and they'll be here for you. One other thing that's coming up is Saturday, Dartmoor, which also needs good weather. Isn't that right, Mark? Yeah. So it's a men's walk on Dartmoor. Mark, you just put your hand up. There we are. Good, excellent. We're into the palm waving already. If you need to know details, Mark will tell you about getting lifts and so on. But if you'd like to do something different on the Saturday to get out in God's creation with other guys, that's the opportunity. Easter Saturday, next Saturday. Mark's got all the details. And lastly, there was, just to let you know, for those not on email, a decision has come from Baptist Union General Council not to go with any change of the rules on ministerial recognition, which is an important decision. So things stay as they are. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your involvement in that consultation. If you think, what on earth is that about? I don't understand that. Speak to me afterwards.
Here are some words which were spoken by the prophet Zechariah 500 years before Palm Sunday happened. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I can't think of anything more appropriate to start a Palm Sunday service like standing and singing Hosanna in the highest. So if you're able to stand, let's sing that together. If you're not, then please stay seated. Salvation through the Messiah, and today we remember that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of our promised Redeemer. We acknowledge our need for salvation from our sins, and we rejoice that Jesus is our deliverer. We celebrate him today as King and ask that his kingdom come into our lives too. We praise you now, and we will praise you throughout the coming day, this Holy Week, and into the future. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses, and give us your Holy Spirit, that we may rejoice with those who shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing two praise songs now. The first one, Praise is Rising. And we shall follow that with All Glory, Lord and Honor. So again, if you're able, let's stand to sing.
to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come up your way upon us. We welcome you.
Praise the Lord. All glory, loud and honour is our next song. And during this song, I'd like the children who are going to take part in the parade in a minute or so to go to the back to Debbie so that she can organise you. Okay? Thank you. Take up our morning offering now. These days, a lot of you give direct to the bank and so on, but if you prefer to use the offering bag, it will come round now. If you are a visitor, it's entirely up to you whether you want to contribute to it or not today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we know that you love us, each one, so much. You even gave your only Son to die for us. What greater love can there be than that? And we, Lord, want to bring a token of our love to you just now and pray that this money may be used so that other people may come to know about you and your love and about the Lord Jesus, who will save them if they turn to him. Amen. Thank you. Right, well, now we are going to stage a reenactment of the Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem, complete with donkey. And in a minute or so, the children are going to parade around the church, together with one or two adults who have also entered into the spirit of things. But if, as the procession goes around, you feel inclined to join it and tag on to the end, you are very welcome to do so, whether you're 2 or 92. That would be good, because that's what happened on the day. That's what people did. Now, you've all got palm branches scattered around the congregation. Can you hold them up if you've got one? Right. Now, what did people shout when they were waving the palm branches? Hosanna. And also, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So that's something you could be doing as the parade goes by. So we'll have a practice. We will say, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right. Okay, that's your part. This is based upon the children's Discovery Bible, which in itself has based this account on in Matthew's Gospel. Let's go to Jerusalem, said Jesus to his friends. I have something important to do there. So they went. And when they could just see the city from the nearby hillside, Jesus said, let's have a parade. Jesus' friends were surprised. A parade, they wondered. Why a parade? But no one said anything, because Jesus was already busy giving instructions. I want two of you to borrow a donkey, he said. Tell the owner I need it. He'll understand. Right. Take the donkey back with you. When the two friends returned with the donkey, Jesus hopped on its back. You have to imagine that. Yeah? He gently nudged its sides and started down the hill. His friends followed close behind. Can't hear anybody.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Hooray for Jesus, they shouted. Jesus is king. Down, down, down they rode towards the city gate. And the closer they got, Hosanna, more people Hosanna, joined in.
Hosanna.
Whoa, stay there. Stay there, man. And it's Jesus the teacher, someone called. And it's Jesus the healer, someone else shouted. Three cheers for Jesus called one and all.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Soon there were people everywhere marching along with the parade, shouting from the roadside. Some took off their coats and laid them in front of the donkey, and others cut palm branches and waved them about. There were hundreds, maybe thousands, clapping, dancing, and shouting their way through the city gates. Everyone was happy. Well, almost everyone. Some of the religious leaders didn't like Jesus. They were jealous because ordinary people were fond of him. And when they saw the parade, they frowned. A grumpy Pharisee said,
"Wait a minute, you can't have a parade here. Tell your friends to be quiet, Jesus."
But Jesus just laughed. "Tell them to be quiet? Impossible." Then he turned to look at the crowd. "Can't you see," he said, "there's so much happiness here that even if I could make the people quiet, the stones in the street would jump up and shout for joy." After Jesus had looked around the temple, he and his friends went back to a village called Bethany because it was getting late. Bethany's that way. Well done. I think they deserve a clap. Josie's going to bring our morning reading now.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet,
no.
Says the pastor. Okay.
I'll introduce it by then.
Right. I pray for you first, then.
That'd be good.
Lord, we thank you for that lively reminder of the things that happened on Palm Sunday. But, Lord, there's a lot more to it than that. And we thank you that Stephen is going to give us an exposition of the Palm Sunday story, taking it from the Gospel of John. So, Stephen, may God bless you. And may the Holy Spirit fill you and anoint your lips.
Amen. Amen. So, who was there on the first Palm Sunday? From what we've just seen, who was there? Children, I'm looking at you first. Who was there on the first Palm Sunday?
Who was there?
Jesus. Disciples. There's a donkey there, yes. So they got disciples, Jesus, and a donkey. Was there anybody else there? Crowds. Crowds. And someone else you've forgotten. Pharisees, absolutely. Absolutely. So there were lots of people there. Who did they see? What did they see? What did they do about it? Josie's going to read for us John chapter 12 and see what he said about what happened. He was there. He was an eyewitness.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, and went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among them who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus.
Thank you. So, the people who were there.
I've got about six different groups of people. The great crowd of Jews, those who'd come for the Passover feast, the remnant of God's people who'd come from all over the Mediterranean and Turkey, North Africa, Arabia, Egypt, even Rome, and converts to Judaism, people who had decided they wanted to worship the God of the Jews. They'd all come to celebrate the festival that the law of Moses commanded them to. There were men and women and children. And it's great we've got the children here with us. And as David said, we've got 2 to 9 to 2. That's the whole idea. At this festival, everybody was there. We often just hear about the men. But men, women, children, everybody was there. They'd all heard about Jesus and all the debate, the speculation, is he the Messiah? And they were the celebrity seekers, like we have now a celebrity culture. They were celebrity culture. Jesus was a celebrity. They thought he might be the Messiah, the warrior king, who would rescue the Jews and the land of Israel from the Romans. And the crowds decided to take a lot of faith. What have you got? What have you got? Shout out, what is it? A palm branch. Wave your palm branches for me. They decided to take the palm branches and go and meet Jesus because they sang this song. O Lord, save us. Hosanna. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. That is Psalm 118, written 1,000 years before Jesus arrived. And it includes these words. With boughs in hand, branches in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. The crowd, although they didn't realize it, were joining in something that was prophesied, yes, 500 years before, but also 1,000 years before. The crowd was joining in for a party, for a celebrity. They were caught up in the moment. Men, women, and children singing and dancing. Thousands of people. So that was the great crowd. But then, there were the 12. Hands up, disciples. Yep, that's it. That's it. You've got disciples at the back there. Excellent. There were 12. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years, walking with him, sleeping out in the open with him, eating and drinking with him, crying and laughing with him. He was not only their teacher, their rabbi, he was their friend. They know him as a man like them. And they were really confused by the crowd worshipping him, making claims for him they didn't understand and they didn't really believe. At this point, John tells us, who was one of them, they didn't realize the prophecies in the Old Testament that they'd grown up with were about Jesus. They heard them every year. They were about Jesus. They heard them in their villages. They were about Jesus. John says, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things were written about him, and they had done these things to him. Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey fulfilled the prophet Zechariah's words that we've heard earlier, and many other prophecies. But they couldn't see it at the time, and they couldn't see what was to come on Good Friday. Who else was there? There was another crowd. Did you spot that? Go home and do your homework and you'll see it again. There's another crowd, a different crowd, who hadn't just heard about Jesus. They were with him. I'm looking again at our children, because this is men, women, and children. You're another crowd. So back two rows, could you give me a wave? Back two rows, that includes you, Ian. Give me a wave, that's it. You're another crowd. Everybody not in the back two rows, give me a wave. And you on the balcony. You're the great crowd, but there's another crowd. Another crowd. They were men, women, and children who were with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Friend of Jesus in Bethany. We heard they went back to Bethany. That's where they used to stay, at Lazarus's home. Lazarus died, and Jesus raised him back to life. This crowd, the crowd at the back there, they continued to spread the word about Jesus. So even more and more men, women, and children went out to see him. So you guys, just natter at me, please. Just say something, all of you, just say something. No, no, not you lot. No, no, the back lot. The great crowd at the back. Right. And you lot, could you keep your ears? The great crowd, put that on your ears, please. You're listening. Right? Thank you. So you lot, you've listened to that lot, and that's why you're here. That's why you're here. They were the witnesses, because they told of what they'd seen and heard. So you are the many people, as we've just heard in our reading. They're the witnesses. You are the many people that went out to meet Jesus because you're seeking a sign. You are looking for a sign. You are sign seekers. Paul tells us that Jews demand miraculous signs. Jesus was often challenged to perform a sign to show he'd come from God. They were thinking back to Moses, who, to prove that he was sent by God, when he went to rescue the Israelites from Egypt, he had to show them signs. He put his hand in his cloth and it came, in his cloak, and it came out full of leprosy. His staff turned into a snake. And that was to show that he really was sent by God. And the Jews in Jesus' time said, we want you to do what Moses did. We want to prove who you are by a sign. And Jesus said, I'm not going to play those games. They won't create faith in me. John says in verse 37 of this chapter, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. You can look for signs, but it's not enough. Next bit. Now, this is the boo, hiss, pantomime moment we've already had. The Pharisees. Give me a boo. Now, that's the last time we're going to do that, because this is not like the pantomime villain. These were the religious elite, highly educated, powerful leaders. Now, some very irreverently talk about our bishops as people with pointy hats wearing dresses, which has often been said. And they do wear pointy hats and wear dresses. And that's what some of our bishops do and other people. And often, religious leaders in this country, in this time, are a figure of fun. Who saw in years gone by, showing my age, Dave Allen in his show having the Pope carried in a sedan chair? Come on, a bit. There's a few. Yes, there are. Yeah, you don't want to admit you watch Dave Allen, but I know. But religious leaders are a figure of fun often in our culture. But this was not the case at this time. They were in charge. They were effectively under Rome's control, but they were allowed to be in charge. They were the ones who had the most to lose by a Messiah arriving. They saw Jesus as a problem, someone who would be better dead so that Rome would not take away their power and control. The high priest Caiaphas said, "You do not realize it's better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." And what he said was absolutely true. Didn't know what he was saying. These Pharisees, they knew the law. They knew the prophets. They should have realized that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy. When we saw the donkey, and Summer Rae, you were a very good donkey. She's gone at the moment. She's gone. Summer Rae, very good donkey. When you see a man, a prophet, arriving in Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, it might strike your mind, if you know the Old Testament, that in Zechariah it says about that. They would have known. But they weren't interested. They weren't confused like the disciples were. They deliberately did not want to see what was in front of them. And there is none so blind as those who won't see. They were angry and they were afraid. They were deaf to God's word and blind to what was right in front of them. They saw the whole world had gone out to Jesus. That's what it said in our reading, wasn't it? Look, the whole world's gone out to him. And instead of responding with joy that the Messiah was here, they refused to believe in him and wandered in dead. As the prophet Isaiah said, which John quotes in verse 40, a bit further on in our reading, "He has blinded their eyes, deadened their hearts, so they neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." If they had turned to Jesus at that time, he would have saved them, but they were not going to do it. And lastly, this is the group that perhaps we don't hear about very often, and that's why our reading carries on, and you would have seen in the church Bibles, it's in the next little section, which is why section headings are really unhelpful, because it sort of chops it. And verse 21 and 22 aren't in the first bit of our reading, but I wanted the whole thing included. Who's the last group? Who? The Greeks. These are non-Jews. It's a term for all people who aren't Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, men, women, and children. It would have been men, women, and children. It's not just some Greek men. This is men, women, and children who were not Jews. They wanted to know God. They come to the festival to see God. The place, where would they have had to worship? Who knows where the Greeks would have worshipped? The outer court of the synagogue. Where were all the birds and the money changers and all the wheeling and dealing, the conning people out of money? You've got to pay the temple tax and you've got to change your money for temple money, and it's going to be a really bad exchange rate. We're going to charge you a load of money for pigeons, which are sacrifices for poor people. Where did all that happen? In the outer court for the Gentiles. That's why later on you see Jesus got so angry and turfed them all out. These people, they want to come and worship God. And the place that they want to see, come to, the only place they're allowed to, was full of wheeling and dealing. So instead, they say to Philip, "We want to see Jesus." They were seeking Jesus. Maybe they believe he's the Messiah. Maybe they're hoping he's the Messiah. Maybe they know that Jesus is someone they can get close to. They've been kept away from the Holy of Holies and even the court where they're supposed to worship. So they want to see Jesus. They want someone who will welcome them rather than the Jews who called them dogs. And we know from what happened earlier that Jesus welcomes children. He welcomes 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds. What age are you, Zeb? What's your age?
11.
He welcomes 11-year-olds. Lexi? Eight. Does he welcome eight-year-olds? Are we sure?
Yes.
Good. How old are you, Connie? Does he welcome seven-year-olds?
Yes.
How old are you, Alana Faye? Seven. Does he also welcome seven-year-olds, including Alana Faye?
Yes.
Excellent. And Summer Rae? Nine. You're the only one in that row who's age nine.
I'm 91.
Does he welcome nine-year-olds?
Yes.
Does he welcome 91-year-olds? Who said that? Oh, somebody calls in trouble. Colin, he's got to get a word in. Hallelujah. That's why they were seeking Jesus, because whatever age you are, he welcomes you. Harry, how old's Harry? Does he welcome four-year-olds?
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. So, as you've heard about these different groups of people, which ones do you relate to? The great crowd, the celebrity seekers. They've heard all about Jesus. They say, oh, we want to go and see him. Within a week, 5 days, they're the ones shouting, crucify. That's how long celebrity status lasts. The next, there are the disciples who know Jesus as a man, as a teacher, as a healer, even as someone who raised people from the dead. But they don't know him yet as God. Is that you? Then there are the witnesses. Those who've seen Jesus in action, seen his power, and are enthusiastic about telling everybody else they can his witnesses. Who's a witness? Yes. Who's really passionate about being a witness? Who struggles being a witness? Oh, a few more. That's what the leaflets are about. And the other one. I love you, Jesus says. See his love. Just hand them out. Being a witness. Then there were the sign seekers. Who do we know, or maybe it's us, who want Jesus to perform miracles for us? I won't believe unless God does this. I won't believe unless God does that. When we were praying for the service on Good Friday outside, there was a man outside I got talking to, gave one of our leaflets to, and he said his mum died 4 years ago. And for him, everyone dies of cancer, he said. And really difficult. I said to him, not everybody dies of cancer. Hallelujah. But that's where he is. And he's looking for a sign that God is there. God who let his mum die. Sign seekers. Looking for something. Some people are chasing experiences. They've had one experience, they want another spiritual experience. Then there are the Pharisees, those who see Jesus as a problem, protecting the status quo. Religious, but with no relationship with God. Powerful, but only in this world's terms, and only if things stay as they are. The cost of following Jesus is too radical. It's too high. Religious, but no relationship. Do we know people who are religious, but don't know God? There may be somebody here or someone listening. You've had plenty of religion, but you don't know God. And lastly, there are the Jesus seekers. Those who are seeking to meet Jesus, to see him, to know him. They're people who need somebody they can relate to. They went to Philip because Philip's name is a Greek name. And there are a few of the disciples who had Greek names. And these people seeking Jesus went someone they could relate to. In the girls' brigade, which we come to, Les and I come to quite often, it's a great place to be. And Angela leads girls' brigade, and the girls relate really well to her, and they relate to her, and the other leaders who help. And it's the same in boys' brigade. I was told the other day that Joseph and Jack, they love Andrew, love Kevin. Particularly Andrew, who's responsible for their group. And there's a relationship. Who are the people that you know who are seeking Jesus and you're the one they can relate to? You're the one to tell them about it. You're the one to invite them for a coffee or to a service or to an event. Will you bring them right into the centre? You don't have to stay on the outside anymore. That's why Jesus, when Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn in two. Sorry, I'm going into Good Friday. But it was ripped down and said, right, you can come right in. You can come right in. And that's our message to people, isn't it? You don't have to stay on the outside. You're allowed right in. Final thing just to think about. The Greeks came and said, we want to see Jesus. And as David said to me, he didn't answer them. He didn't meet them. You notice that? They said, we want to see Jesus. The disciples thought, oh, this is great. Jesus didn't do it. Why? Because that was the trigger for his death. That was the trigger for what came next. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said, it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven up. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. As soon as those Greeks, the men, women and children, came to find Jesus, he knew this was the time. And he said, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. And that's what will bring Jews and Greeks to me. Over to you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for unpacking the Palm Sunday story in such detail for us. I'm sure that's given us all quite a bit to think about. Before we come to an intercessory prayer, we'll be beginning now. And it's the song King of Kings. If you're able to stand, please do so. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
now an intercessory prayer for Palm Sunday. Almighty God, as we stand at the foot of the cross of your Son, help us to see and know your love for us, that in humility, love and joy we may place at his feet all that we have and all that we are. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for all who are vulnerable, those who are sick or at risk in any way. We pray especially for everyone around the world who is struggling with isolation, without the essentials they need for living, all the care, fellowship and love of friends and family. May they know your love through the actions of others and the comfort of your presence with them in these difficult times. We pray, Lord, today for leaders across the world struggling with the huge issues in Gaza, the Ukraine, and Haiti, and in so many other places where there are conflicts. We pray for justice and peace to return, and for aid to reach desperate people. And we pray, Lord, for your church worldwide, especially for our fellow believers who find themselves in dangerous and very difficult situations. And we ask for their protection and that their faith will remain strong. And we are part of that global church here at Wynne Street. Help us to be attentive to what you are saying to others at this time, and to act accordingly. And we pray for those in our church family who are struggling at the moment. Particularly we pray for families with us this morning, but for whom getting here was a real challenge because of her pain. And we pray for Valerie, due to have an operation this week. And we pray for Rowena, who I'm sure longs to be here amongst us, but has been so poorly for such a long time. Lord, will you meet each of them, in their particular need, and grant your healing touch, we pray. All these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts we offer in and through the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour.
Amen.
Now, someone who shouted out a few minutes ago, saying, "I'm 91, is Colin. Colin has been around in this church for longer than I, well, for longer than I've been here, and longer than I care to think. He is a man of great wisdom. He also has a wicked sense of humour. But he felt led this morning, as he was coming to church, to sing to us. And would you like this handheld microphone?
Yes, I don't normally sing like this, but do you know, I used to know an old minister from Elam.
Eat it like an ice cream.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I used to know this old man from Elam. He and I...
Oh, I don't need ice cream at the moment, thank you very much. Anyway, he and I were very, very close. And near the time of his death, he said to me, "Colin, you know," he said, "I'm quite looking forward to this." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I've had enough of this world." He said, "I want a different world, a world where I can show my love and where a world is full of love, that heaven is there. And it was coming into my mind as I walked down here, I thought, well, Pastor Thomas always used to like to sing a song. And I even think of it now. He's a short chap, not very big or anything like that. But wherever he went, people knew that he was a man of God because of the joy always in his face. So I'm going to sing this chorus, because I've been told to, by higher authority, I think. Now the words go, I'm going to sing and dance up there, in that building built for square. Now sing it slowly, and if you don't want, you don't know, probably you might want to try and sing it anyway. I'm going to sing and dance up there, in that building built for square. I'm gonna sing and dance out there. Yes, I am. Now you see, quite a few of us are getting old, and we're looking forward to this time when we're going to come and see him. I am, I know perfectly, because he's in my life now. He means everything to me now. We're sitting now in hospital, in a home. I find myself on my own in my house, but I'm not, because I often mutter to the Lord and just say, help, something, and he does. So I'm going to sing it once more, and if any of you want to try and come in, okay, I'm going to sing and dance up there.
I'm going to sing and dance up there. In that city built for square, I'm gonna sing and dance up there. Yes, I am.
Hands up on this one now as we start singing. Put your hands up, both of them if you can help. Right.
I'm gonna sing and dance up there. In that city built for square.
Now you've got the idea, now, right, let's start again.
I'm going to sing and dance up there, in that city built for square. I'm going to sing and dance up there. Yes, I am.
Fall down, Colin. You know the problem we have every time to go to Penn Dennis now doing a service, don't you?
Well, we're going to follow it and close our service in a moment by singing In Christ Alone, which has become a modern-day favourite of lots of us, I'm sure. I just want to tell the children that on your way out of the door into the other room, Debbie has got some pictures of Jesus on the donkey and the people gathered around for you to take home and colour at home.
Excellent.
Okay?
And can I also say, I've got a job, children, for you to do. There are some letters that are going to be put on the cross saying, Jesus, King of the Jews. And I've got about four letters here. I need you to colour them in for me. So I'll bring the packs with me, but in coffee, I need these colouring in so we can put them on the cross for Good Friday.
Okay, so let's stand and close by singing In Christ Alone. Contributed to this act of worship this morning, including Richard, who provided the outfits for the children, Debbie, who's been looking after the children at the back there, those who've operated the things at the back that I don't understand, and everyone else who's helped in any way. We thank the Lord for one another, don't we? Shall we say the grace to each other, holding hands? There we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.